just a great opportunity. I want to encourage you, if you want to do a new Bible study or new ideas, I believe our Bible study, every once in a while, we should shake it up a little bit. Try to read a different way. That doesn't mean you change the version. What I mean by that is, if you're going to read the book of Proverbs, after you're done reading it, select one verse that's impactful to you. Really break it down. Spend maybe 20 minutes on just that one verse, what it means to you, how you can apply it to your life. Melinda has a great, I think it's called SOAP. It's an acronym, and a great thing that it's not our idea. It came from Lancaster, and they said it at one of the services, and she started doing it. Yes? Oh, okay. So, ladies, you're going to be taught what she's doing in her Proverbs. I actually read some of the notes out of her Proverbs, and they were really good and really impactful, and really made the book of Proverbs become a very practical book. Recently in our home, well before this SOAP thing, we've been, each one of us in the family, reading five verses as part of our devotion. And then the question was, what verse did you like out of that? Just changing it up. And maybe for you, it might be reading a Psalms every day and getting an encouragement, or getting into a book you've always been afraid to read. You ever have one of those books, Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, maybe get into one of those, and maybe with a commentary, just go through that book or something. Don't become lackadaisical in your Bible study. It is so important for us to stay attuned to God and focused on Him. Now tonight we're in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. As I said, if you have been missing some of the studies, Proverbs 14, the title of the message is the fear of the Lord. And if you, some of the messages I haven't posted yet from last week, so if you're patient, I'll get those up this week. I got this morning's message already in, and it's going to take me a little bit to get the rest in. I hope you avail yourself. Now, honestly, the online viewing is it's down comparative to what it used to be. But I would encourage you, if you have a message that maybe spoke to your heart, as long as it's up there, maybe go back and revisit it, or go back some of those old messages if you're ill. I know there's a lot of online platforms that you can go to for messages, but I would encourage you, go back, and so you can keep the heartbeat of the church right here. Proverbs 14, we're going to read just 26 and 27, talking about the fear of the Lord. 26, 27, actually, if you could, let's go down to verse number, where is it at here? Let me find it real quick. We'll just start at 26 and 27, then we'll start the service, and we'll get to where there's actually three verses I'm going to focus on tonight. Oh, verse 16, there it is. So let's read verse 16 and then go down to 26. Verse 16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Verse 26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Verse 27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snare of death." So tonight we're going to be looking in Proverbs 14. There's many things we could look at, but we're going to be looking at the fear of the Lord, trying to get a grasp of what God that is there. And so let's go to Lord in prayer and get into this Bible study. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening to understand that we do need to have a great and a mighty fear, a strong fear of God. Lord, help each one of us to understand what that means. Help us to understand the importance of it. Help us to understand that it could change not our lives only, but those around us as well. So Lord, please be with us that we can truly grab a hold of this concept and live in a life of fearfulness of you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, I purposely didn't define what fearful is. If you were to listen to this message just right now, you would say, "Well, Pastor, you want us to be afraid of God?" And that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. Fear is the key of the message. Now, by the way, there's some very notable verses that I wanted to point out that I almost did a message on tonight. I'm trying to just pick one thought or so from each chapter as we go through this. But I want you to look at verse number 4. Maybe you can take these home and develop them for yourself. But let's look at a few other ones that were notable mentions is what I have in Proverbs 14. Verse number 4, it says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but it much increases in the strength of an ox." And so it's talking about the worth that work ethic and getting in there and getting stuff done and having the strength to do the task that God has called you to do. I almost did a message on that. I also like verse number 12. It's one of my favorite verses. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Boy, are we not living in that day? And maybe one day we'll actually visit that verse. That's talking about worldly wisdom. And do you realize that there is a way? You go to the secular colleges or secular schools. You go to different people out in our society. They are very confident that their way of living is the right way of living. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. But God is very clear. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we're not going to look at those tonight, but those are some notable mentions. There's probably many, many more, obviously, that you could pull from. But really in verse number 16, 26 and 27, it gives us this phrase, the fear of the Lord, or to have fear. Now, I have the definition of fear. Fear has a specific definition. Now, when we think of fear, what do we think of? We think of maybe this one, mesophobia. You know what mesophobia is? Anybody know what mesophobia is? You guys don't have it then. Okay. Fear of dirt. Obviously, my kids don't have the problem with mesophobia. When I was crawling underneath the mobile home, I did have a little bit of a mesophobia problem. I was thinking of spiders and what's in the dirt. That's exactly right. All right. You might know hydrophobia. You know what hydrophobia? Fear of, yes, of water, right? You see a very smart crowd here tonight. All right. I'm going to misspell this. Narcolephobia. Yeah, very good. You're doing well. The fear of darkness. And anybody got a narcolephobia there a little bit? Anyone? And keep your light on. Right. No, that's a different narc right there. Right. Narcolephobia. Yeah. How many? I just got to ask. How many of us leave a light on at night? Now, how many of it do it because we just know our toe's going to get stubbed if we don't, right? It's not for fear except for stubbed toes. All right. Yeah, I don't know what fear of stubbed toes is, but that's a real fear, I'm telling you. All right, here's you know this one. No, I don't know this one. Acrophobia. Acrophobia. Fear of heights. Very good. Acrobat right there. All right. Fear of high places. Textophobia, and that is not a fear of texting, by the way, all right? Textophobia. This is a very weird one. Nothing with words. I would have never guessed this one. Anybody on my right? Anyway, not touching. Nope, this is a weird one. The fear of being buried alive. Is there a fear of that? I have never considered that. Anybody go to bed thinking, I wonder, will I get up, wake up in a cop? No, I don't know. That goes very close to this one. We know of claustrophobia, the fear of confined places. If you ever jump into an MRI, that you'll find out if you're claustrophobic. That's right. Or if you crawl underneath a mobile home, those are also good ways to find out. I'm sorry. I'm losing control of this service already. All right, let me go back to this. Necrophobia. Necrophobia. We should know this one if you think. No, but it's very close. Fear of the dead. Fear of the dead. So, let's see. Claustrophobia. Xenophobia. We, as Christians, we should not have this fear of strangers. Everybody should be a friend to us, a xenophobia. Let's see. I'm going to have a hard time saying this one. Tristadecaphobia. That's close. No, not the number 10, but very close. Go up 3. 13, very good. The fear of, very good. The fear of things. All sorts of fears. I mean, honestly, in our world today, and we'll get back into it, the study, we really have to understand that there's all sorts of fears that we could live in. And this is not the fear we're talking about that God talks about. And I point that out because when we think of fear, we think of what we're afraid of, what we are going to run away from, a flight or fright moment, you know, what are we going to do in this system? One study says, unfortunately, many people who have learned to fear things that they probably shouldn't have never learned to fear God. Too few who have acrophobia have learned to fear God and Too few who have acrophobia have learned to fear God and to keep his commandments, so have not learned to fear God. Many who have some of these fears give no heed to the word of God. The truth of the matter is, the fear that we're talking about, that we relate to, is truly not the fear that God wants us to have to him. And so the actual definition of fear, there's actually two references of it. It's H3374 if you're using the Strong's Concordance, and or 3373. Both mean the same thing. In the context of what we're talking about, it is a fear or a moral reverence. It is a fear like you would if you were standing in the presence of a great man. I think of years, maybe what it would have been like to stand in the presence of maybe Abraham Lincoln. Wouldn't that have been a wonderful experience? I would be nervous. I'd be shaking. I'd be like, oh, well, number one, he's very old and he should be dead. So I would, yes. But I mean, if I was in presence of such a great man as him, or maybe someone maybe closer in history, Ronald Reagan. I brought him up this morning, and I have a great respect. I went to the Ronald Reagan Library, wonderful library down in Orange County there, and I really enjoyed that. I would be fearful, and he's not going to do anything to me. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's a reverence of something of greatness. And that's the kind of fear that the Word of God is trying to teach us to have about or with God. Now, not many of us have that fear. When we hear, I was at a conference just the other day, Friday and Saturday, and I was coming out of my hotel room, and I was in this common area, and behind the bushes, there was a mechanic or something working on some equipment, probably pool equipment by the sounds of it, and I heard him say some words that included God in it that just weren't very friendly, amen? And I thought, boy, I'd hate to be on the other side of what he just told God to do to that thing, amen? Because he had no reverence to the name of God. Used it rather flippantly and rather coarsely and callously. And it just made me realize, oh my goodness, there was no reverence there. When I use the name of God, I want to make sure that the name is used in the proper way. When I think of God, I want to have the reverence that's due somebody. I want you to consider, we should not have this kind of fear. We think of fear and it's not in God. We shouldn't have a fear of consequences. That's not what the fear is talking about here. You ever, well, I'm afraid of God and what he's going to do to me. That's not the right kind of fear toward the Lord. Often people will say, well, you know, I don't want to sin because God will strike me down. That's the wrong kind of fear. That's not the fear God wants you to have toward him. And it might be true, by the way. There is consequences to sin, and there is a judgment that comes from God. But God doesn't want us to fear him in that manner. He wants us to reverence him. It's not a fear of consequences. It's not a fear, by the way, of bad outcomes. Well, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do because I don't want the end of the day to be a bad day. That's not the way to live life. Should we not fear God because of who God is? Should we not lift up his name and reverence him because of who he is? And not because we fear that if I don't, the outcome of my day would be bad? But this is how people live in our day and age today. They look at God as a God of consequences, a God of judgment and bad outcome. We also fear God for, wrongly so, for the loss or the lack of gain. Well, I don't want to stop tithing because then I might lose my blessing. Well, that's the wrong attitude about fearing God. God gives you blessings certainly because of your faithfulness to him, because you're tithing or you're serving or you're doing whatever it is. But my God will bless you. The sun, he has the rain fall on the just and the unjust. There's plenty of blessings to go around. We should not fear God only to get. That's a wrong way to live. So what is it tonight that we can understand about fearing the Lord? In the book of Proverbs, we understand that it's a practical book. This is a book that is designed, it is written so that you can take it to work tomorrow. Everybody's going to go to work somewhere. You say, well, Pastor, I'm retired, right? Oh, you got a honey-do list. You got a list, and you're going to go to work tomorrow. There you go. What does that say, retired? What does it say in the small print?
Since 2021.
Oh, very good. I got you. Living the T-shirt right there. Amen. But every one of us is going to have something to do tomorrow. When we get out of our bed, we're going to have to make our life count. From the teenagers in the that get up and they go to school, or they got to dig in and they do whatever they're going to do on a daily basis, or the younger adults that go out, I don't know what they do. They just kind of hang out and do a little bit of nothing, right? No, they go to school. They have a hard job. Teenagers, it's not easy to be a teenager. And they're going to have practical truths on how to live for God. And that's what Proverbs is going to teach us. The young people, the young adults in here are going to have to learn how to engage in a society that is very counterculture, very cancel culture. Want to cancel out everything. Get rid of anything that's offensive. Pretty soon they're going to cancel people because they're offensive. Amen? Just get rid of them all. The truth, except for them, of course, because they are important. The truth of the matter is we're going to have to, and Proverbs is going to teach us how to live our life. And one of the ways that we can live our life successfully for God is to fear Him and to have this great moral reverence for the God. And if I can fear Abraham Lincoln, who if I ever get in the presence of him, maybe when I get in the glory, if I could fear him and reverence, wow, what a great man he was. Or I could fear Ronald Reagan. Or I would even say I would fear, you know, even some of the great men of this day. And being in the presence of some godly men. Then I can certainly look at a God that saved me, that created this universe and all that we see, and has done so many wonderful things in this world for me, that I should be able to reverence him and fear him in my life. The fear of God is one of tremendous respect for the person of God, because he is God, for no other reason. And I'm tired of people saying, well, I'll serve the Lord, but he better come and pay out tomorrow. Amen. He better make sure the blessings keep coming. That mindset, I don't know if they'd say that. That's rather bold, but that's their mindset. No, I'm tithing, I better be blessed. I shouldn't have a flat tire. I shouldn't have a car breakdown. Look, fact of the matter, if you're driving a 2006 or older car, your car is going to break down. Amen? Let's just be honest. If you drive a newer one, you're probably still going to break down. Let me give you three thoughts on that. Number one, I want you to see your fear brings a change to God's righteousness. Not God's righteousness, to our righteousness for God. When we fear God, we're going to have God's righteousness put on our life. Look at verse number 16. A wise man feareth. Now, this is the fear that talks about the moral reverence of God. The word God is not there, but it is implied by the fact of the righteousness that is being illustrated in the verse. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. The truth of the matter is, this evening, we need to have a fear of God that brings us to righteousness and living in a way that God wants us to live. One who fears God will be one that abstains from wickedness of this world. You know, you cannot fear God and be thumbing your nose at him all the time, living in more immorality and sinfulness. Amen? You can't. That's why it's so important for you to understand the Word of God. That's why it's so important for each one of you to not just come to church and read your Bible, but read your Bible at home and find out what God's likes and dislikes are. And to the best of your ability, live on the likes and purge out the dislikes that God has in this book. Amen. Too often do we have Christians that are willing to put God on a second shelf, on a lower shelf, to their own sinful behavior and wickedness. The truth of the matter is, every one of us should consider our own walk and our own righteousness, our own path that we take, and look for the wickedness in our own life and purge it from our life in order to show and to fear God in a way. When we see that, there's two thoughts. When we look up that word for the wickedness and fearing God, we come with two words. One is to abstain, and the other is to love. One is to have an abstinence out of a reverence for God. That's what it is. You know, certain things I did when I decided years ago, I was 16 when I met my wife that I now currently have, amen. I was 16. I think I asked her to marry me when I was 17. We got married when I was right after she turned 18. She was April, and then August we were married. We were very young. When I said those vows, though, I made some commitments to reverence her. I said, I'm going to abstain from certain things in my life out of a commitment to my wife. So I decided to abstain from other relationships with other girls. It would be inappropriate for me to go out and find another girlfriend. Amen? Why? Because of my commitment and my reverence to my wife. It would be wrong. You'd say, well, you'd be a dirtbag if you did that. Amen? Because I'm not honoring the reverence part of the relationship. If in the vows we made promises to, I'm not exactly sure how it all worked out, it's been years ago, but something to the nature of, I promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and in health, in poverty and wealth, in sickness, I said that way, until death do us part. I made that commitment to the Lord. And it would be wrong for me to then go ahead and bring things into my life that would cause me to break that trust because I made a commitment. Well, see, when we have a relationship with God, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God causes us to purge out wickedness, to abstain from it. We could do it. I mean, there's nothing, this is America, you can do whatever you want, right? Not really, not anymore at least. But you know what I mean. But you wouldn't be reverencing God. You wouldn't be fearing God. When you go out on a Friday night and you carry on, you're not shining God. You're not reverencing God. You're dragging His name down in wickedness. When you have immoral thoughts, when you get on your phone and you're looking at those pictures, those are immoral and you're not reverencing God and nobody else knows you're doing it. You can go in incognito. You can hide your browsing. You can do all of that. But you know, one person always is going to know, and that's God. And you've disrespected Him. You need to abstain from those things. Somebody say amen. The wickedness. When your mouth is corrupt and you use every foul language in the book. I think of that man the other day. He didn't know I was there. He didn't know that there was a whole facility of people that were church-going folks there. Amen. But oh, he let whatever part that was there have it. With every God name he could have given. He cursed it into eternity's damnation a number of times. If you understand what I mean. He was certainly not reverencing God. You know, we need to abstain from wickedness in our mouth and in our actions and in our immorality and our thoughts. Abstinence of those things to get the wickedness out. And then instead of that, because never leave a vacuum, instead of it, place love of righteousness in its place. You know, a Christian should love to do good. Amen? A Christian should love to, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. A Christian should love to read his Bible. Get rid of the wickedness and instead put in the Word of God. Say, oh, that sounds like a boring life. Not for a believer that loves God and is reverencing God. Every day I open up this book, it's an exciting book. Every day I see practical application. Every day I find a new way to get excited about what God's doing in my life. This is not a boring book, my friend. If you reverence God, this book is exciting. Oh, you read the book of John, the Gospel of John. There's no way anybody, you cannot be lackadaisical and read the book of John. Every chapter is exciting. Every chapter shows the power and the might of God in flesh among us. Oh, my friend, put love in its place. John 14:15 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. May we, out of a reverence to God, purge away sinful things. As verse 16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. May we purge those wicked things away. And in its place, may we find the righteousness of God. May we find the joy of being in church. Look, it's not a bad thing to be in church. It's not a boring thing to be in church. It's not, you shouldn't have to drag yourself to church. This is the place you should want to be. Why? Because this is where we talk about God. God, amen. It's a good place. It's a reverencing place. Oh, you sure? You could be watching the Winter Olympics right now. Any Winter Olympics people? I loved it. We watched it last night. Listened to it. I was driving. She was watching it. But I was able to every once in a while glance over. I like figure skating. I like downhill. I cannot figure out how they twirl and do all those things on skis and snowboards. I'm like, how do you do that without killing yourself on day two, right? It's amazing to me. I even enjoyed the curling. I am getting old, amen. I was like, wow, that's like shuffleboard on ice, right? But is that more important? People staying home? Oh, we have this big game coming up. I think is it next weekend or the weekend after? Which one is it? Yeah, it's next weekend, right? This big game coming up. I think it's called football, right? I think it's called, what is it? Is it Las Vegas Rams? Am I correct? Not Rams. No, Las Vegas. It's the LA Rams. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. I cannot get that in my mind around me on that. But it's the LA Rams and the Bengals, right? Bagels? Bengals. I know who they are. Makes me hungry every time I think of them. Amen. I'm going to have bagels and cream cheese on that day, right? And lamb chops. All right. No, the Rams. The Lambs and the Bagels. We got a game coming up here shortly. I'm all for it. I've tried for years. I used to try back in the VCR days. I'd get a VCR, 120-minute VCR. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about. They sold VCRs in length. You can get the 120, the 90, or the 30-minute VCR tapes. And I'd put it in, and I'd pre-program that machine to turn on right when the Super Bowl started. And it was supposed to finish when the Super Bowls ended, and I was going to watch it after. But there was a determination in my heart every year when there was a pressure to stay home and watch the game. I was going to go to church. Why? Because it's much better to reverence God than to watch a game. You say, well, Pastor, I'm planning on staying home that day. Well, that's between you and the Lord, but I can promise you, and not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian that reverences God, I'm not going to let any game go between me and the Lord. I'll catch it on the highlights. I'll listen to it. We can even talk about it after the service if you want, but I'm not going to miss church because of a game that doesn't have any eternal value at all. I'm going to reverence God that day. Yeah, I've tried that VCR. Never worked, not once. Ever worked. One year it broke right at the Janet Jackson close failure. That's a wrong place to finish, amen? I just gave up. We don't do that. Now we could probably do it. Technology has by far increased from VCRs. We can do it, I'm sure. But the truth of the matter is, what's that? Yes, you can actually watch it while I'm preaching, too. Amen! All right.
I do.
I know. Yes. You know, we could have fun in church. This is good. You just got to time the touchdown with the good point on the message. Amen? That's all you got to do. Amen! Now, the truth of the matter is, I think we all understand. There's a lot of things this world will pull us away. A lot of things will pull us into to less honoring to God. But let us make sure that we abstain from those sins and then put in its place the love of righteousness into that place. And love God. Be in your Bible. Be in the church. Sing the song. You know, when we get an opportunity, you did a great job, by the way, today in singing. Not just tonight, but this morning as well. But when we get in the auditorium, you want to reverence God. You want to show God you love Him. You want to show the fear of God. Sing with all your heart and let God know you love Him. One of the greatest attributes God gave human beings is the ability to express Himself in song. One of the very few institutions that sing to bring before anything is in church settings to bring praise to God is a very unique and different kind of type of worship. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to sing to God and open up our hearts to love and righteousness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Keep your place in Proverbs. Put a bookmark there. 2 Corinthians, you're going to find that right after 1 Corinthians. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14, talking about this reverencing and love and such. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Constrain means to bind. It puts us into a tightness. It constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that all, we're going to read down to verse 21, verse number 15. And that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That means not giving putting the consequence of our sins on our own self unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's brought us to a place of peace and harmony. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God has done everything he needs to and could do to give us reconciliation, that harmony, that peace with God. He died on a cross. He forgave us our sins. And now tonight, all we need to do to have a reverence of God, is to love him and abstain from evil. And now Sean's going to have to finish this, amen? No. We'll see if we can keep going. I know it's turning spring because allergies kick in right now, amen? Number two, let's try to settle my voice a little. Number one we saw is the fear brings change to God for righteousness. Number two, fear brings confidence for self. Well, look at verse number 26, and this is what really struck me, what drew me in. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Not just confidence, by the way, but we could emphasize that with the word strong, meaning that of great magnitude or of great strength, confidence. Meaning this, that when we fear God, we will gain a confidence in the very person that we are holding a moral high regard to. Two areas that we gain confidence in. Number one is a security in God. There's a certain security when you fear the Lord in your life. Each one of us, we gain a security of the believer. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that we will be with him forever. There's a confidence that's brought when we have a reverence to God, and that God will be able to do whatever he says he will do. There's a security to it. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God will give you a peace, a security, when you reverence God. Too many of us live in fear. We have the acrophobias. We have the xenophobias and all the other phobias. May I say, I understand those phobias are real. I'm not minimizing them. And if you need help with it, you get the help you need. I understand all that. But let me give you this thought. You have nothing to fear in this world if you believe in Jesus Christ. You just don't. He has an ability to give you security. If the world may take your whole body and you end up dying for some reason, you still have the security of knowing that you'll be in heaven with Christ if you're saved and born again believer. What can this world do to you? What spider? I was underneath you could tell I had a wonderful day on that day. I was fixing the house up there, had to crawl underneath the house. I did not want to crawl underneath the mobile home. Now, when I was a kid about Joshua's age, I lived underneath my mobile home in my house. I that's where the dogs were. That's where I was. Didn't matter. They found a nice, cool place in the summertime. I have no idea what I was thinking. Amen? I do not. I remember years ago I was working an air conditioning job out in the San Joaquin Valley, and I was employee. That's when I decided I wanted to become the boss, because the boss told me, now what I need you to do is to crawl under this house and run the line set for this air conditioner. Okay, done that 100 times. Well, I didn't know that this house, they had not leveled the pad properly. You know what a pad is? It's the ground in which the mobile home sat on. In the outskirts, it was nice and deep, 3 feet, no problem. On the center where I needed to crawl was no more than 12 inches. And I am about 14 inches or more. And I had to crawl underneath there. And I was fine at the 3 foot. I was fine at the 2.5 foot. Around 18 inches, when the black plastic started rubbing on my stomach a little bit, I was like, yeah, I'm doing okay, but I can get through this. When it was pressing on my chest underneath there, I was like, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this. And by the time I got done with that, I was in a full-out panic to get out of that underneath. I got the job done. But I told myself, I am never doing that again. I told my boss that as well. I will never go under a mobile home for you again. You get young guys to do that stuff. I'm not doing it. I about lost my mind. I understand phobias. I understand fears. But the truth of the matter is, if I were to have died underneath that home, I kept telling myself, if I die, I'm just going to heaven. Amen. I was crawling underneath this mobile home, which is, by the way, much better. I had no problems. But I had Julie out there because I didn't want to have to crawl out. I figured, you know, I tied a rope to my ankle. If the bell stops ringing, she can pull me out, right? No, I didn't want to have to go back if I needed a flashlight or a screw. I said, Julie, just do your school right here. And but if it's a homeschooling, you do your school there. And if I need anything, you can do it. But I was singing a song. The whole song exists of, I hate this job. I don't want to do this. I made up the whole song myself about how much I hated what I was doing. But I got the job done. And it wasn't that bad. Actually, now I'm fine going underneath there. Now I figured I've scared all the spiders to the other side. It's not the dirt I worry about. It's what's in the dirt, amen. I was working on a job, totally unrelated to this message. I was working on a job in Mariposa underneath the coach, and it was a nice pad. The house was level. They dug a pit, and so you just kind of went down into it. So the house sat on level ground. It looked just like a home, a brick and mortar, but it was a mobile home. Well, they didn't think of one thing. You know, rattlesnakes get into the hole. They can't get out. I was underneath there, and I didn't see a rattlesnake till I got out, and I looked down from the top afterwards, and right where I was a baby rattlesnake, where I had just ran the pipe. I understand fear. But the truth of the matter is this evening, we need to understand, with God, you don't have to fear those things. Yes, we're going to have fear, but our confidence, our security lies well past the fear into the place where God has us in His precious care. Yes, we have moments of fear. Yes, I have fearful moments in my life. But beyond all that is the security that God has never lost control. We must place ourselves in His hands in those times of fearfulness. See, fear brings us confidence in God. It says in verse 26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. It also gives us assurance. That word confidence means security. It also means assurance. Assurance of what? Well, assurance of the fact that God has everything in His care. That I don't need to worry about it. You know, certain things you don't need to worry about. I have several thoughts here. Confidence in your position in Christ. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Very questions. Who do I fear? Who would I be afraid? When God is with me, who can be against me? If I have God in me, my position is secure. That's why it's so important for every single one of us, from my right to my left, to know for sure you're going to heaven, to not question it, not doubt it. And the only way you can know for sure is if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you come to church and you think that's going to give you salvation. What a waste of time. It's just a building. I love our building. Praise God for it every day. But it's a building. Your relationship with God is what's going to get you a home in heaven. Singing songs or praying or some of those things are good religious acts that prepare the heart for the day when you can get saved. I had one person tell me, well, Pastor, I had so many miraculous events in my life. Those certainly mean I'm saved. I said, no, ma'am, those don't mean you're saved. That just prepared your heart for the day when you can be saved. What a tragedy for someone to rely on the miracle and fail at the salvation. Trust in the Lord. Give your heart to Him. Gain that confidence in your position. And once you have that position, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then you have it for eternity. I got saved when I was 16. May I say boldly and confidently and with assurance, I have never doubted my salvation, not one time since then. And that's because I'm perfect. That's a joke. No, it's because He's perfect. And He made a promise. I have an assurance, a confidence of my position. I have a confidence in His Word. We look at the Word of God, and where do we get this assurance? We get it through the Word of God itself. You find a weak Christian, I'll show you a Christian that's not reading the Bible. You want to find a fearful Christian? A fearful Christian is a Christian that doesn't read the Bible. See, Pastor, I'm fearful of everything. I got you. Why don't you get into the Word of God and find out how God delivers His children? God provides for His children. God takes care of His children. God has a home for His children. God has a better place for His children. God promises to wipe the tears away from His children. God promises to never leave His children. All of these promises, all of these wonderful things, I've gotten jumped ahead of myself, but we find confidence in His Word and we find confidence in His promises. I understand the loss of a parent. I understand the loss of a loved one. We can have confidence in God. I understand physical body failures. I understand all these things, but we can still have confidence in the promises of God. I understand the loss of financial wealth and the disappointments of life that come with so many disappointing things of life, but those don't strip away a believer. They have confidence in the promises. Because we have a reverence of God, a great moral respect for the reverence of the Lord. I'll give you the third one tonight. Apologize, I have a screen popped up here. Number three. Let me give you the third one. Fear brings a refuge of hope to others. I love the passage in verse 26. It says, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. By the way, there's no question about it. It's a statement. It's not written in a question form. It's just a statement, a fact. But then it goes on to say, with a colon there, the colon means, as you know in the English language, a very hard pause for a continuation of thought. But it's all linked together. And it says, and his children shall have a place of refuge. So the confidence that I gain in myself, the confidence that I have by a reverence of God, the fear of God in my life, is going to be a refuge for those other people in my life, my family. In the context, it says, his children shall have a reverence. I looked up the word children, by the way, and it does mean child or children. It could go as far as into the grandchildren and to perpetuity, going down into the generations of family. And it tells us that we as believers in God have an influence on our faith. Our faith has an influence on the next generation and the generation to come after that and the generation to come after that. If we take it into the Christian realm and we know that we are all family of God, our faith in Jesus Christ can spread to all those around us so that those young kids that are sitting on the front row, by the way, you're doing such a great job tonight. You really are. And these guys right here, they're sitting in the front row. And they're watching us. They're seeing what we're doing. And they're looking at God and they're saying, oh, that man's trusting the Lord. Maybe I could do that when I grow up. You know, we need to understand that God wants these young people to have a refuge to run to. Where are the younger kids going to learn how to go to? Where are they going to learn what to do in their times of trial, if not trusting and looking at your life and seeing what you did and seeing how God delivered you? I look to these wonderful books of the Bible and we see how God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's some people that God delivered. But their refuge gave me hope for my deliverance. Amen? Daniel in the lion's den, cast into that lion's den, certain to be eaten alive, yet God stopped the mouth of the lions. And then in the end, I love the end of the story, the bad guys got thrown in and were gobbled up. That's a good ending. Amen? We want that kind of an ending right there. And that gives me hope as a believer. I'm seeking refuge off of somebody else's faith and reverence for God. May you understand, fear brings refuge and hope to others. Those that are close to him find shelter in his word. One of the main concerns of life for a person is to find a place of home, a shelter, as we see in here, verse 26. He says, and his children shall find a place of refuge, a place of shelter, a place of covering, of care. And that's what we can give to those around us. Those associated and benefit from the fear of God. The word children and family means the extended ones of the next generations to come. And your family, the fear you have for God, the reverence you have for God, will show those of the next generations to come how they can trust the Lord themselves, where they need to go in time of trial. Let me give you final number four, and we're done right on time. Fear brings safety and salvation. Verse 27 is a wonderful verse. And it really deals with, I believe, just a beautiful picture of salvation. The fear of the Lord is a fountain, a spring, a flowing water, if you will, of life to depart from the snares of death. The greatest thing that the reverence of God will bring a person is to that moment of salvation. Now, maybe in this room, you might have looked back at your life and you can pinpoint a time where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But maybe you can't. Now, I know in our community here in Toll House and Prather and Auberry, Shaver, and all Burrow Valley, all these outlying areas, I know there's countless upon countless of people that are fearful because they don't have eternal life as a promise, as something they can say for sure. One of the greatest sayings I have is that ability to say, I know I'm going to heaven. What can the world really do? Government can take away our rights, take away our life, but they can't take away our salvation. We must remember that. And what we must do is see, letter A, that God offers security in eternal life. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. Make sure that you're saved here tonight. Don't trust in religious actions. Don't trust in just coming to church. That doesn't get it, does it? It's a band-aid on a bad, bad bleeding wound. It doesn't do anything. Don't trust in your good works. They're not good enough. The Bible tells us if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. It's not good enough. You gotta have Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let's look to that eternal life as our hope. The greatest fear, the fear and the awe of the Lord will inevitably bring a person, if they're truly in awe of God, they'll inevitably bring a person to the place where they'll bend a knee to God and say, I need you for salvation. But also, it brings a very present help in a time when we need it most. Salvation doesn't just come in the future. It gives us a fountain of life today. And we can have joy that springs out of our life as a believer. That even in the hardest of days, even in the most difficult times, we can praise God and sing His name in the heartache of our life. The fact is, it's a very present thing for us. It's not just eternal life down the road. It's a bountiful life here on this earth. And we don't do things for God to get from God, But isn't it a nice thing that when we do things for God, we get from God? And He blesses us and helps us in our time of need. Let's go to Lord in prayer tonight. We're going to have an invitation on this one tonight. And I'm going to just ask that you maybe be mindful. We are going to celebrate the Lord's table. We're going to spend a little bit of time explaining what it is tonight. So, but before we have the Lord's table, we're going to look at this passage. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Tonight is an opportunity to look at your life and to see if God and you are on the same page with this fear and reverence to Him. Do you reverence the Lord? Have you given your life to the awe-inspiring God? Now you're here on a Wednesday night or Sunday night, you're doing a good job there. But maybe there's one or two that say, Pastor, I've got some wicked things in my life, some sins that are obviously not what God would want. And I need to get rid of those. Oh, they don't have to be the big ones. They could be small. They could be the heart problems, the mind problems, the emotion problems, whatever it is. But Pastor, would you pray with me? I've got some areas in my life that are not reverencing God. They're actually thumbing my nose at the Lord, and I want to get those things right. Could you just lift your hand up? Just put your hand up and down. Say, Pastor, I've got some things. I see those. Thank you. Nobody's looking around. This is just you and God. Maybe you've just been trying to impress the Lord so much, you forgot why you're doing it, that God is so good. You say, Pastor, I'd like you to pray for me. I want to be able tomorrow and the next days and weeks and years to come, be able to reverence God in the right way and be able to show my trust and my faith into an almighty God. Here's my hand. I want to fear the Lord with all my heart. I see those hands there. Maybe you're here this evening and you say, Pastor Wass, I'm not sure if I were to die right now, I'm not going to heaven. I'm in church, I've sang songs, trying to do the religious stuff, but I don't have a fear of God like what you talked about. As I said before, the fear of God ultimately will bring you to a place where you bend a knee to God, to where you say, Lord, you're amazing, and I'm not. The easiest salvation prayer is a simple prayer, asking God to forgive you of your sins and take you to heaven. Repenting is what the Bible talks about. I'm sorry, Lord, for the failures in my life. Please give me a home in heaven. That's a salvation prayer. That simple prayer can change the destiny of a soul from hell to heaven in just a snap of a finger. Maybe you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Wass, if I were to die right now, I don't think I'd go to heaven. I know I probably need to say that prayer. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Would you pray that I could have the courage to say that prayer? See that? Thank you. Is there anyone else this evening? For the one that raised their hand, I'd ask maybe we can talk after church tonight, if you don't mind. We just spend a little time together privately. For the others here this evening, God's doing some work in our hearts. The fear of the Lord is one of the greatest things that we could do for Christ. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity maybe to just spend a little bit of time with the Lord. As the piano's going to play, I think we have an invitation song. We don't always do an invitation on Sunday night, but tonight we're going to do one. If God spoke to your heart, I would ask that.